This is Liz.
And this is Sharon.
And you're listening to Unrefined She,
the well-being podcast for women like you who want to explore your health, claim your space, question norms, and live your best lives. Hosted weekly by entrepreneurs and women's health experts, Liz Winters and Sharon Bailey.
As always, please keep in mind that the information shared on this podcast is for general purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. And now, let's dive in.
All right. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today, Liz?
I honestly am a little tired.
Why is that?
Because my child is no longer sleeping. No, he is sleeping now, but it's been a rough couple weeks. Weeks? My gosh. Mm. Centuries? I don't know. We had that really fun sleep regression. And I even Googled it. I was like 8 months. And the next two words that Google automatically populated was sleep regression. It's like, oh,
thumbs down.
Okay. So it was really rough because like the week earlier, Arlo had been sleeping from 6 at night to 6 or 7 in the morning. And even just 3 days of that, you get used to it.
Yeah. Real fast. Uh-huh.
And so all of a sudden he was up, you know, at 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And just, it was really hard. So I feel like I'm finally kind of recouping and I'm here. I've got a, as you called it before we hit recording, the big gulp of coffees sitting in front of me. It is decaf. I finally did also switch back to decaf to give my poor body a break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the stress of no sleep and biz stuff and life and also just drowning myself in caffeine was probably not the most ideal combo.
Mm-hmm.
This is one aspect I can control. So how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good today. I didn't sleep 2 nights ago. I woke up and I only got 5 hours of sleep and which like... You know, when the first year of Fox's life, like if I got 5 hours of sleep in a row, I was like, oh my God,
you're a new woman.
Greatest day of my life. Like I was telling you before we hit record it, it would reminded me of being a doula and just like waking up in the middle of the night and then working for days. So luckily I got to sleep tonight. Last night. It was great. I did wake up at like 4 and I was like, fuck. And I just sat there for like an hour. My brain is just... our brains are just processing so much right now, you know,
right.
And I was about to get up and my cat came in and I just snuggled with her and pet her and fell back asleep. And I was like, you are like my little sleep guide. Love that damn cat. But I actually just signed up for Masterclass.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah. Super stoked. I was hooked on the like science of sleep. That one drew me in. And so that's the class I've been watching so far. And I've learned so much. I mean, it's like $180 for the year.
Oh, that's great. Can you tell people a bit more about it if they don't know what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. It's basically like a series. It's more than that. Like you can pretty much take a master class from all kinds of people who are masters in their field, like comedy from Steve Martin or like skateboarding from Tony Hawk, like all kinds of things. And so I am really excited about that. Oh, also like how to pose and like posture yourself for photos from RuPaul. Super stoked on that one.
Bless. I would love to take that.
I know. But this science of sleep class has been super fascinating. Actually, I feel horrible. I forgot the guy's name, but we'll put it in the show notes. He's a researcher at, I think, UC Berkeley. Anyway, and his whole thing is sleep and the science of sleep. And he's written a book on it. And he breaks it down in a way that's very understandable. But one of the things he talks about is like when you lose sleep, like naps, how to like, you know, consume coffee. He even gives you tips on like jet lag. I mean, it was really, really helpful information. So yesterday I applied all of it And I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink too much coffee past one. And then I'm going to take this like little 15-minute nap and then, you know, still go to bed at the same time. He's like, don't try to go to bed early. Go to bed at the same time because your body needs to keep its rhythm. That's more important because you're not going to actually make up for that sleep.
Oh my gosh. It's like, it's like when you have a baby. You don't put them to bed earlier. No. You might add an extra nap, but you try and keep them on the same schedule.
Exactly.
Life lessons. Yeah. Treat everything as if you're dealing with an 8-month-old or a 4-year-old.
Exactly. So I've actually been taking, because in the masterclass, he's like, share this information with people. And I was like, okay. So I've been like starting an Instagram series on sleep because I'm like,
yes,
we all need this information. It's super helpful. So we'll link his book in the show notes so you can buy that if you want. Overall, I'm doing really, really good today in this moment with my cup of coffee.
At this moment, it is good.
Yeah.
I feel
the sun is
that.
Starting to rise, like feeling pretty good about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, sleep, but what's cooking in your kitchen?
Ooh, okay. I'm really excited to talk about this.
I'm really excited to hear about this.
Yeah. So as y'all know, or maybe you don't know, we are hosting our first retreat and it's virtual this year, but we will be doing them in person. Virtual retreat at the end of February, February 27th. It's a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I have had the pleasure and honor of finalizing our 4 presenters. 3 of them, by the time this happens, will be on the podcast. Yeah. And the 4th is one that we allude to or segue to all the time.
I am so excited.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So we have Dr. Laurel Prue is going to be a presenter speaking on, I actually don't know if I'm going to talk about the topics just yet.
Okay.
So let's keep it
tease that out.
So, we'll tease that out. Yeah. I winked at y'all just so you know. So Dr. Laurel Prue and then my dear, dear friend Shay Broussard, who is a practitioner of Chinese medicine. Also, Drea Miller, who is somebody that I have known for a long time as well, and also a practitioner of Chinese medicine. And then Sasha Lakin, who is Thick Thigh Yoga on Instagram. We're actually going to have her on the podcast, I think, next week. And she's great. So we'll have 3 presentations and a yoga class from these badass ladies. And I couldn't be more thrilled.
It's going to be so fun. And I'm really excited for this retreat because I think the workshop that we held in the fall, which feels like a million years ago,
at least
it was 2 hours, but it was so powerful and people were just warmed up to each other so quickly. And I was amazed at how much impact and connection could happen, even though we're all sitting behind computers, because that's the safe thing to do right now. You know, I mean, I would love to be in person. Mm-hmm. So to have like a full day of this with guest experts and really have other people facilitating this kind of connection beyond, you know, the 2 of us, I think it's going to be really incredible. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. That was something that, I think that was the thing I loved the most about that Period Power workshop was how the comment section was blowing up and people were making all kinds of connections that, you know, there's no way we could have facilitated, but it was just the community was just doing it. Yeah. And so we're going to, you know, we want to be able to facilitate that space as well, because these women are going to be really, and actually, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say these women. These folks are going to be bringing us some heavy, incredible knowledge on how to listen to your body. And then also how to like nourish the like spiritual and like metaphysical being to be able to really step into your body. And I'm just thoroughly looking forward to it. So we're going to kind of go for a very broad spectrum as to not do a lot of crossover, but at the same time, like it's all going to thread together really beautifully.
Yeah. So our overall theme is really like how to listen to your body, because that's the number one advice you get when you get into the health sphere, the wellness sphere. It's like, just listen mm-hmm. to your body. Just listen to your body. Oh, are you not sure? Just listen to your body. And everyone, I mean, myself included, we've been taught to be so disconnected from our bodies for so long mm-hmm. that we all go, how the fuck do I listen to my body? Is my body even telling me anything right now? Like, what tools do we have to do that? And that's where I think all of these different experts are going to draw on different things. So it's going to be a little bit of dabbling in the woo, right? Anytime somebody says metaphysical, I was like, we're dabbling in the woo.
Oh, that's very science-backed. No, but
absolutely.
Yeah. Little woo dabble, though.
Little woo dabble. And, you know, I think it's just going to be really, really powerful. I'm excited. I feel like I'm so excited to learn.
Yeah, totally. Well, I have to say, like, one thing that I was talking to Drea last night about the topic, and one of the things that she treats people who have like severe PTSD. She treats lots of veterans. And she has also dealt with severe PTSD with like past trauma. And one thing that she says as a acupuncturist is they would say, you know, like step into your body, like in her classes, feel your body. And she was like, my body is not a safe place to be. So I don't want to be in it. And so then that caused a lot of dysfunction. Like she couldn't eat foods that were right for her because she didn't want to be in her body to hear the messages that her body was sending her. And so that's where a lot of what she's going to teach on comes from, is the work that she's done to be able to enter into her body and make it a safe place. And so for those of y'all who feel unsafe in your body, this is going to be a really great talk. And we're going to have her on the podcast in February too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I just, as soon as you said that, I was thinking about like the trauma of loss, of like pregnancy loss. And like for me, I can totally resonate with not wanting to feel like I'm in my body because I no longer trusted my body. And it's taken a long time, and it's still a very much a work in process to like,
sure,
to build up that trust again. So, you know, you think about, because, you know, my work is all with birthy people, like,
yeah,
you know, traumatic childbirth experiences or loss or, you know, anything around that can be, yeah, just a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many nuances to having a positive connection with your being and your body. And, you know, some people just like there's so many things that we experience in life that could make us not want to be in our body anymore, our sacred vessel, you know. And so just to have some guidance on that is going to be really exciting. So,
well, it seems like it's become like a privilege, right? It's a privilege to trust your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege to feel safe, and it shouldn't have to be.
See what you did there.
The shoulds.
The shoulds. Well, what's cooking in your kitchen?
Well, Sharon, I actually was channeling you last night in my construction kitchen. Well, the story will be long gone by this time, but I did share like a little update because I'm like, and by this time, my kitchen will be done. So I actually shared an update on our Instagram of our kitchen construction progress. It's like, here's what I am working with. Here is what is happening next to it. But I channeled you last night because I made my first batch of sourdough bagels.
Yum. How'd they turn out?
They turned out really, really yummy.
Nice.
And it was what I loved about that whole process. And this came from, we have some friends that are moving in with us, which is a whole other story, but we're very excited about this. And so they came out last week and we took lots of precautions and safety and all that stuff. So they came out and they spent a week with us and helped us with some house stuff. But they're going to be moving in with us for an unknown amount of time. It's going to be great.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And they were talking about bagels. She's like, I really want a bagel. And Edie's like, I want a bagel. And like, we're in a smaller town. You can't find gluten-free bagels. Like, it's just not going to happen right now. I could drive to
Preach
Corvallis.
In the choir over here.
Yeah. So told Edie's like, you know what? Let's make some bagels. So I fed my sourdough starter. And it's a three-day process.
Yeah,
I mean, the way we did it. And so we're going to eat bagels for breakfast after we're done recording here. Mm. But it was, what I loved about it was the intention that had to go into it. So it wasn't just like quick run down to the corner market and buy a bag of Franz, which is fine. But for us, like we don't do none of, nobody in my house does particularly well with gluten mm-hmm. and with processed grains. So being able to kind of take something that I would normally look at as, to be perfectly honest, like a quote unquote bad food, but that's like me trying to unlearn this from years and years of crappy diet culture, to viewing it as something that I am like intentionally creating and nourishing my family with. And it becomes a treat, right? Because it's 3 days. Like it takes 3 days to make a dozen bagels.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you just get to really savor it and connect with it. And it was really exciting, enjoyable. I don't know, like lots of different things. It was just fun to learn a new task. And I'm still trying to like repair that relationship with food. I think every time I like play with sourdough, I'm like, I still have a lot of work to do with my relationship with food and my body and all of that. So it's I think it's part of this healing process. And then also wondering, I'm like, is this okay for my body? Because for me, gluten is one of the things that makes my thyroid flare up big time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another opportunity for me to listen to my body and mm-hmm. figure out if I can hear what it's telling me in terms of like, is this an okay thing for me to have
right
once in a while as like a treat because it takes 3 days to make?
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be off the list almost entirely? So we'll see. We'll see what only time will tell.
Yay. Well, I can't wait to hear about it. I really loved making sourdough bagels and it is, it's like an experience, you know? And then I always call my sourdough starter my favorite pet. And, and it's like, you really do like watch the dough come to life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it takes on this whole like little being, and then the sourdough gets in there. I mean, it all does its thing and everything bubbles, and then you shape them and you boil them and bake them and do the whole thing. And yeah, it's such a cool experience. I ate that. I still remember this very, very distinctly, but I ate that the day that we interviewed Laurel, and halfway through the interview, I got hardcore bagel brain. So
no,
because I don't eat bagels very often. So go slow.
Go slow. Yeah, they're small. The recipe was like, you can make 10 large bagels or 12 medium bagels. And I was like, how about medium bagels?
How about some medium bagels? Yeah,
medium bagels. And they're still huge. I was like, what does a large bagel look like?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they grow so much.
Yeah. Going slow, putting lots of butter on it, and taking all my digestive enzymes. So
yes. Yeah. Yeah. Good move. Boss move right there.
Yeah. That's my saving grace these days. Thank goodness.
Well, let's hear from our sponsor before we dive into our listener questions. Hey there, listeners. Sharon here. This week's episode is brought to you by our friends at Rockin' Roots Farm. If you have listened to any episode with me, you know how much I love CBD. I literally put it on everything. I am that CBD mom. I have also seen CBD help so many of my clients with pain, anxiety, period cramps, and even mild depression. Liz and I personally use CBD in our daily lives, and that is why we are honored and excited to have Rockin' Roots Farm sponsor Unrefined She. Rockin' Roots is a family-run farm and herbal medicine brand. John and Candace, the farmers and product makers at Rockin' Roots, pride themselves on using regenerative agriculture while growing beyond organic hemp and vegetables. They are deeply invested in supporting their community through education programs on the farm and pay-what-you-can vegetable stands during growing season, all while creating affordable CBD and herbal products. We love Rockin' Roots, and we know you will too. Shop their CBD and herbal product lines at www.rockinrootsfarm.com. That's rock, the letter N, rootsfarm.com. And select Unrefined She from the drop-down menu as your affiliate at checkout.
Can I actually, I have a request before we dive into our listener questions.
Oh, sure.
We have a voice memo, which always makes me do a happy dance anytime somebody sends us a voice memo.
Oh, yeah. Let's listen to the voice memo.
Okay.
Hi, Liz and Sharon. This is Britt calling from Los Angeles. I am a huge fan of the podcast. Thanks for all you do. I just wanted to call and say thanks for this latest episode about the new year. This is my favorite time of year, and I love to release the old and set intentions for this new year. And I love what you were talking about with this collective energy that we all get to build on together in the world with just starting a new cycle. And I thought that was really inspirational. Liz, I remember last year you were talking about the power of habit over goal setting. And that's something that really worked for me this last year that I hope to do again this next year. I also wanted to share with you my intentions for this next year. That was very much inspired by what I listened to. And I just want to focus on a sense of ease for 2021. I feel like things are simultaneously very hard, but they also can be easy. So hoping to bring in that ease. Thanks, ladies. Love you.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Britt. You're the best. I love that sense of like the word sense of ease. Did you set a word for this year? Did we talk about that?
No, I don't think I have set a word for this year. We did not talk about it, but ease sounds really good.
Ease sounds real nice. I think mine is presence. I've been doing like a little journal exercise every morning. I know you hate journaling, but it takes literally 3 seconds. It's intention, reflection, and gratitude. Mm. And so my intention for the day is to be present. And I keep going back to that word. So I'm not focusing on like what I need to do tomorrow or at 4 p.m. Mm. I want to focus on like what is happening right in front of me right now. And I think when I do that, the rest of the day is a lot easier. It's my step towards ease.
Step towards ease. My word is movement.
Ooh, I like this.
Making some steps to move forward. I feel like I've been standing in place running for years, and I actually went to move forward.
There we go.
Yeah. And then also just for my body, lots of movement. It needs it so bad. That's like calling for movement all the time. Oh, I love that. I do actually, I know I talk about how much I hate journaling. I do sit every night and I write down the 3 things I'm grateful for. I also write down like a dream of mine, like something I want to envision in the future to happen. And then I've started writing things about like my child. I realized I was getting in a place where he was starting to irritate me all the time. And that was my shit. And so I've started reframing any thought that I had, like where I was getting irritated by a thing he was doing, and reframing it and writing that down. And it has in like a week changed our relationship already.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
That's really, really awesome. It's like you're reprogramming.
Totally. I'm very much reprogramming my brain. I'm like, why do I think this? Like, I just got in a pattern. I got to get out of that pattern. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I totally hear you on that. I feel like we reflect our own stress, anxiety, whatever, onto our kids.
Oh, so bad. And then we're like, why the hell are you acting like this?
And I'm like, oh, because you saw me being a snotty brat? Damn
totally. Totally. Sorry, bud.
Wah, wah. Why would you think it's okay to talk like that? Oh, because I'm literally talking like that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. It's cringeworthy parent moments. Man.
Yeah. Well, they are a little mirrors, you know?
Yeah, it's infuriating. Uh-huh. We have some great listener questions today. Y'all showed up for this, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited about some of these. Some of them are kind of hard. There's one in particular that I'm like, ugh, I don't know.
I know. I feel like one of these is going to be its own podcast episode. So it'll be like a sneak peek on all of these.
Let's start with number one. Okay, Liz, who is the dream podcast interview? Like the person you want to interview the most?
Oh, that's so hard. Rachel Rogers.
Ooh,
it just came
one.
To my brain. So like, yeah, that's, I feel like if that's at the forefront of my brain, that's at the forefront of my brain. I think she's just so powerful and shaking shit up. And it would be incredible just to sit and talk to her for an hour and hit record, you know?
Oh my God. Yes. I watched her $1 million address yesterday in our Schmilly Club. She's such a badass. She had these like huge Ruth Bader Ginsburg earrings on. They were like the size of her face. And it was just like RBG's face. I was like, girl.
Girl, get it.
Yes. Brene Brown. Hands down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, that gave me chills.
Yeah. We're going to have the best podcast ever when we get those two women on there. I mean,
holy
you know.
Shit. So this, by the end of the year, no, I'm just kidding. I
mean, yeah.
Whatever work cut out for us.
Yeah.
Sharon, first thing you can't wait to do post-COVID.
Travel.
Oh, where would you go?
Oh, well, the first thing, place that pops in my head is Greece, the Mediterranean.
Oh. Have you been?
The Caribbean. No, I've never been.
Okay.
Indonesia. I have a very long list of places I want to go.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Maine, I want to go eat lobster in Maine in the fall.
I was like, they're all warm until Maine.
Until Maine, but the fall, like early fall, early September. Okay. I've heard the week after Labor Day until the middle of September is the time to go because everybody's gone. All the tourists are gone. But that's
it's like a 2 week.
It's
period.
A 2 week window. I know. I know. And every year I have something planned then. And I'm like, this year's the year. Somebody I just scheduled to be on the podcast, just Elena Liu, she lives in Maine. Well, that's not actually her last name. That's her Instagram handle. Anyway, she just moved to Maine. They were going back and forth between Hawaii and Maine, and they moved to Maine. And I'm like, going to make that connection. Going to Maine.
Going to Maine.
Going to Maine. what about you?
I would have a big party.
Yeah.
And I would cook for everybody. That's what I miss the most. Shane and I have this conversation quite a bit. Like, what do you want to do as soon as we, like, as soon as we can? I was like, I want to host a party. We used to host parties all the time. And now we've like, we've got the house and the yard for a big ass fun party.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that's what I want to do. So you, yeah. 2022. Wait for the invite.
That's also the thing. We'll be up there. We'll come. We're looking at buying a bus, like one of the shorter buses, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually going to go look at it this week. Just pretty exciting.
Dang.
And like looking at converting it, you know, making the whole thing so that we can go do exactly that.
Love it.
We'll be there.
Love, love, love it.
If I'm invited.
You're invited. You and your bus. We have a place to park your bus.
Sweet.
Yeah, we have a carriage driveway. So it's
amazing.
Ridiculously long. For, you know, your carriage.
Right.
That's a thing. Your horse and
we carriage. Actually have a sheep wagon parked in one of our driveways because we have two driveways. One is the size of half of a basketball court, and that's what it currently is. And then the other is like over on the other side of the house. And my husband's grandmother's sheep wagon is parked there. So
it's the most like Colorado thing I've ever heard in my life.
We do it up Colorado style pretty hard here.
I appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you. All right.
What's next on our list?
If you had to choose between eating bacon or cake for the rest of your life, chocolate cake.
Oh, is it specific?
It's specific.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I didn't put it in the question question box, but if you had to choose between bacon or chocolate cake, because if it was like carrot cake, I'd be like, duh, carrot cake. There's carrots in there, but...
Is this the only thing I can eat for the rest of my life? Were they specific about this? Or is it just like if... Oh, this is the only thing I can eat?
Literally the only thing.
Oh, then I say pie.
Just fuck that. I am just not choosing your choice option.
I was like, I like bacon. Cake is fine, but I want pie.
So you're a pie person over cake, huh?
Yeah, if I could choose. Yeah. Mm.
All right. Yeah. Ryan's the same way. My husband's the same way, but I am a cake person.
If it was carrot cake, we could have a different conversation.
Right.
I would totally be into carrot cake. Cream cheese frosting, little things in there. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's the superior cake. Carrot cake is my favorite cake. It is the superior cake.
I feel like everyone out there who's like, why the fuck would you eat carrot cake? Is like, unsubscribe.
That's fine because look, carrot cake is the superior cake.
Peace out.
I would probably go... Actually, my husband and I sat and debated this for like maybe 6 minutes last night. I would probably go cake just because it has like a slightly more diverse nutrient value than just straight bacon. But it would really ruin it for me for chocolate cake, I think, if I just had to eat chocolate cake for the rest of my life.
Could it be like different kinds of chocolate cake? Like, is it the same chocolate cake or we could like mix it up?
Let's go with mixing it up because I mean, I come from Texas and in Texas, there's this thing called the Texas sheet pan cake. And it's like, a sheet pan of chocolate cake with like two bags of powdered sugared chocolate icing. This is a thing.
My teeth hurt.
So bad. And this was like the cake that they made for everybody's birthday. It was always the Texas sheet pancake. So Texan. And if I had to eat that over bacon, I would eat bacon for sure.
That's really funny. Wow. I think I learned about sheet pancakes from Cassie Joy's. Like, she has a couple like sheet cake recipes. Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, a sheet cake. That makes sense. It is cooked on a sheet pan.
It's cooked on a sheet. Yep, exactly. Yeah, that's a very, very Texan thing.
That makes sense. What job did you both think you would have as 20-year-olds?
Oh, there's the rest of the list. Haha, look at that. Okay, this one's hard.
Do you not remember?
When I was a 20-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my mom had just died. I was kind of a wreck. So I'm trying to think of like when I was emotionally a 20-year-old, which was like my mid-20s. an art teacher, because that's what I went to school to be, was an art teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you'd be such a good art teacher.
Yeah, if I liked teaching copious amounts of children.
Yes, there's that piece.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It taught me how to be an artist. I mean, I basically went in not knowing how to draw a stick figure. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
I just kind of pulled it out of my butt and was like, okay, I think I'm going to go with this one.
Wow, that's really cool.
And it was therapy. I mean, learning how to make art was total therapy. And when I was like really reeling from my miscarriage and breaking up with my fiance, like I just made art all day, every day. I was also broke. Like,
yeah,
couldn't rent a movie from the Redbox, broke. And so I just made a lot of art.
There you go.
Yeah. Art's really important, y'all.
It's
anyway.
Super powerful. Yeah. Super, super powerful.
What about you?
I also thought I was going to be in the arts. I think I had it all planned out. I think I was going to go into arts administration, but also pursue like acting and music. So I wanted to, what my dream was to be like working in marketing for like a theater and also, you know, performing as well, because I was smart enough to know that performing by itself was probably not going to happen.
Right.
And I did that for a little while. That's what I did for, it was my internship actually when I was 20.
Wow.
And then, yeah, realized that it was not necessarily for me, but.
I love that. You had it all planned out. In my teens and 20s, I did not, because I was really in my four wing, and this gets into one of our next questions, but I was really in my four wing because I was in a place of like constant struggle dealing with my mom and her mental illness. She had borderline personality disorder. And I was talking to my brother the other day and I was like, I feel like I'd probably have like a PhD by now if I hadn't spent all of my teens dealing with my very sick mother and trying to be a human and learn how to be a human in the world, and all of my 20s processing having a very sick mother who took her own life, you know? And because I like where I am now in my 30s, I feel like the work I'm doing now is like what I would have done in my 20s. So, and I get down on myself about it. And then I have to remember, like, I did some shit. Like, I had to deal with some shit, you know, when most people were just like, what college am I going to go to? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what internship program can I get in? And so
you had to grow up really fast.
I had to grow up really fast. And then also, it stunted a lot of my development.
Right.
Which was pretty wild. Yeah. Side note on that. So when I want to answer that question, I want to be like, well, I had it all planned out, but my threeness does. Yeah, totally. And I'm like, yeah, but life happens.
That actually is a good segue into our Enneagram question, but I don't think it's all typed out here. I think you have the full question on your end.
The full question is, why do y'all talk about the Enneagram so much? And can you do an episode on it? And yes, we're going to do an episode on it.
Yeah, we're sitting down
with an Enneagram expert.
Yeah, we're sitting down with Jess Gertner. I learned how to say her last name correctly recently.
Gertner.
I hope I'm not fucking that up. It looks like Gartner.
German? It's German. Yeah.
It's German. Yeah. So
also a Texan.
Also a Texan. Also a fabulous human. She runs the Modern Mamas podcast with Laura Bruner. And she's coming on in a couple weeks, next month?
I think in February.
I think February. Yeah, she'll be on the show in February. We're talking about the Enneagram. So if you all have questions about that, send them our way. Mm-hmm. But why do we talk about the Enneagram? So many reasons.
So many reasons, really. You want to answer that one first?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it was the first personality test where I could actually, it made sense to me. And I appreciated that it wasn't just another test that was like building up and stroking my ego, being like, oh, you're so good at this, this, and this. It really looks at both sides, like opportunities for growth, like where you go when you're stressed, especially that I can see that. I was like, oh, I really do like totally recluse and hide under the blankets when I'm stressed. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going into my nine or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated that it painted a more full picture. And like any personality test, it's definitely not perfect and there's nuance to it, but it gave me a framework to kind of approach difficult situations, relationships, business, being like, okay, what are my strengths? And it's nice to see somebody else type them out and be like, yeah, that is something I'm really good at. Mm-hmm. Oh, and here is a place that I get concerned about, and here's how to like navigate that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really enjoy about the Enneagram and then coaches like Jess, because it's just another tool to get to know yourself better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's a really thorough tool. You know, it's not just like a snapshot. It's so robust and, you know, really informative in so many ways that I never really like could even have imagined, honestly. And it's helped me in my relationship a lot. It's also helped me learn how to set boundaries in my business and how I work, and how it, you know, it's the like running in place thing. I was doing that a lot because in like a threes kind of thing to do is to just like be in the how, like, how am I going to get this done? Okay, cool. I have a thing. I'm going to get it done. And then, so it's allowed me to like see that pattern and then step back and be like, why am I doing this? What am I doing? You know, get really clear on those things because the how is no problem for me. it's all the rest of it. But, yeah, I mean, it's just been an extremely helpful tool. Also, when it comes to conflict, like we threes tend to not want to get in conflict.
Oh, I hate conflict.
Oh, I hate conflict so much. And when I get into conflict, I go into my peacemaker and it drives my husband insane because I just like, I don't want to be in this conflict with him. And he's over here like getting amped up, like, let's do this. Let's like have this conversation. And I'm like, why? It's an inefficient use of my energy.
That's really funny. What is he?
He's a four.
Oh, okay.
He's a four in the thing that he does that's, I feel like the most four is that he doesn't want to learn about the Enneagram because he's like, no, that puts me in a box. Like, don't categorize me.
You don't need to learn about it. We know what you are instantly.
Oh, yeah. So it's been super helpful in a lot of ways. That's why we talk about it pretty frequently.
I love it. I think it's a fabulous tool that everyone should look into.
Yeah. I think maybe we could link the an Enneagram test in the bio.
The RAISE. Is it the RAISE? RH? The Rett Institute? I don't know.
It'll be in
Ashley. Ashley will figure it out.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks, Ashley.
All right. What's the next one?
Let's do the quick one because I think the last one is going to be more of a conversation.
Well, there's a few on here.
Oh, there are. Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry. Favorite movie?
Favorite?
I don't have a favorite movie. I'm sorry.
That's
it depends
hard.
On the season. It is. Isn't that so funny? It's so silly. It should be short and quick, but.
What's the movie I quote the most? This will be
sure.
funny. Wayne's World.
Party time. Excellent. That's really funny.
It's been a while, actually, but that was like, it was a movie I quoted a lot.
Oh, man. We quote a lot of 90s rom-coms around here.
Nice.
Because that's just what we grew up. Like, there's like a list of movies that you have to watch in order to understand Thanksgiving dinner with my family, with my side of the family, because half the conversation is in quotes.
We're going to need that list.
Yeah. I'll work on that list.
Yeah. all right. What's your take on cannabis? I'm going to break this one because I have a take.
That's a hard one. It kind of, I guess I would want more context. So for me personally, I'm not so into it. I think it is a great tool medicinally that, I don't know, I just see people like slug away and waste their life on it and say like, it's not like it's booze. And I'm like, okay,
sure.
But like, have you left the couch today? So again, that's like one very small like sect of it. So I think it can be a really powerful tool for people. Mm-hmm. Just like any like herbal medicine. But that's where I choose to look at it. And it's just like good for you, not for me. That's my jam.
Yeah.
So that's a really short version of my answer.
Okay. Well, on that note, what's your take on alcohol?
I think it's an occasional thing, but so when I compare the two, like I would never get up in the morning first thing and have a drink to start my day, you know?
Right.
And so, and I know the substances interact with people very differently, and this is probably a really hot topic, but like, that's where I look at it. Like I am just very, for me personally, substance adverse. Mm-hmm. I am totally down to like have a cocktail every now and again, smoke some weed every now and again. Not really since I've had kids. Right. But it's just, again, it's like a really occasional thing for me. It's just a personal choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Alcohol does me wrong. Big time.
Yeah. Sorry, I just hit my mic stand.
Second Damn time. It. Got that big gulp.
I have my big gulp of coffee and I'm really fucking things up over here. Speaking of substances.
Oh, man. Yeah, alcohol does me wrong. I'm a fan of cannabis. There was a point in my life where it was like I woke up and smoked a lot of weed all day, every day. But I was also, I mean, not that this was an excuse, but I was also dealing with the trauma of my mom. My trauma, my mama. So, you know, I can definitely see the route of from that perspective. Like it definitely made me a slug on the couch. And there's definitely like a, just like any medicine, too much can be dangerous, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's like, that's where I was meaning. I was like, there's a balance, right? And that balance is going to look different for everybody.
Totally. I use it now. We grow a couple of plants every year. I tincture it a lot. And I use it for actually being able to disconnect from my work brain.
Yeah.
Because it pulls me out of the cycle of just like checking my phone, posting things, checking my email, like making my list, like that. I just get so into that place. And I think there's a lot of stigma around weed because it's just been this like stoner culture for so long, and it's like, bro, where's my, you know, headband or whatever. I mean, they made it I was actually talking to Dre about this last night too, like the strain names are so stupid. It's like, how could you even look at it as medicine when you're calling it like purple kush?
Right.
You know, it's just perpetuating this whole idea of it being like this stoner culture. And I think once I took it away from that and look at it as, you know, and I took a big break when I was pregnant and breastfeeding. And so, and I think just like everything else, like I was a heavy drinker when I was pregnant or before I was pregnant, not when I was pregnant, excuse me, before I was pregnant. And ever since I had Fox, like alcohol is less and less and less. And now I just don't drink. I mean, it's very rare, but like even on winter solstice, I had like seriously a 2 ounce pour of Prosecco and I was hungover for 2 days. So like alcohol and my body just don't mix. And like marijuana isn't really something that like there's I have to notice if I am getting in the pattern of like wanting to smoke more regularly. I definitely smoke like around my period. Because it's also that like I get in the headspace where I need to get something done. But I feel overwhelmed because of I'm about to start my period and I know this about myself. So if I smoke a little bit of weed, then that stops me from getting in that like cycle of stress. And so I use it in that sense. I use it medicinally. But
sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's easy to like spiral. Not, I wouldn't say out of control. I think it actually takes a long time to get to the place where you're like, where you become, I mean, I guess everybody's personality is different. Like for some people, it's probably pretty easy to crawl into a joint and never come back out, you know,
right.
But So yeah, I guess that's my take on it is just, you know, just like anything else. Like I don't take over-the-counter meds unless I absolutely have to. I really right. don't take anything except for CBD, the occasional weed, and some elderberry syrup. You know,
yeah.
some trace minerals. Some like trace I put it minerals. In that category.
Yeah, I'm assuming this question came out because I know we talk about CBD quite a bit, which is why I think we need to have like a whole episode on. Maybe we can bring somebody on that's more of an expert in this land because it certainly isn't me. But
yeah, well, and
the difference between cannabis and, I mean, like marijuana that you would like smoke regularly, like the THC yeah. containing right. versus
THC. Uh huh.
CBD.
For CBD. Yeah, I actually had a good conversation with somebody on Voxer who was asking me about CBD and then was talking about getting weed. And she was like, I don't know how to buy either of them. I have no idea what I'm looking for. So I was like talking to her to try to like help her, you know, make like a more informed choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, what are you using it for? And she's like, well, anxiety. And I was like, girl, you don't need to smoke some weed. Just start with the CBD. Like, right. because if yeah. you have struggle with anxiety, weed can definitely exacerbate that. You know, I was like, if you're not a weed smoker, don't go there yet. You know, talk yes, to an right. expert about that.
So, right.
So yeah, funny. We could totally do an episode on that. She was yeah. like, you need to be telling people this because I have no idea what I'm doing. And I would have just walked in there and bought some weed and smoked it and probably would have lost my mind. And I'm like, you might
totally.
Have.
And that's actually I was talking to a client and I was asking her, I was like, do you use CBD? Because I was trying to send her a gift. And she's like, I don't like weed. It freaks me out. I don't like it at all. Mm-hmm. I was like, but this is different. Mm-hmm. It's like so different. Mm-hmm. And then for some people, like it may not feel, have you ever heard of anybody like not feeling great with CBD? This would be totally anecdotal, but I mean, I'm just curious.
No, my best friend claims that it doesn't work for her, but I don't think that's right, Kirby. Just calling you out on here.
Well, I think it depends on the, because I would have told you the same thing a few years ago until I started using the stuff from Rosebud, which is the one that I really like, and the stuff from Rockin' Roots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think quality is huge because I'd purchased some CBD from, I don't know, I was at like a health and wellness trade show and they were selling it there. And so I paid an arm and a leg for it because I didn't know what I was doing. And right. I was like, this doesn't work. And then Shane would buy me some like CBD gummies from the pot shop. Didn't do shit for me. Actually made me more anxious. So something that was in there. My dogs are tap dancing outside the door.
Click, sorry. Click.
Speaking of anxiety. So anyway.
Sweet. We'll do an episode on that.
Yeah, I think we need to do an episode on that.
Yeah, that sounds good. All
okay,
right.
This last question is my most favorite.
All right. Yes. Uh-huh.
I read this and I was like, oh. Thing you are most excited and also terrified to teach your kids. So I wonder if those are like the thing you're most excited and the thing you're most terrified about. You can answer it however you want.
Okay. I am most excited to take my child traveling around the world to like introduce him to other cultures and learn together about other cultures.
I hadn't even thought about something like that.
Eh. Yeah. It's like basically a curriculum for me.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm ready. I'm so ready. This is actually what I had envisioned doing during this time of his life was traveling.
Right.
And I'm like, fucking Rona, man. Because he's going to school soon. And I'm like, Ben, we're on the school calendar.
Right.
And especially as a homesteader, like summertime is when we're home working the garden. Traveling is supposed to be done during wintertime. So, I'm really excited about teaching about other cultures or learning about other cultures together. I think the thing, I think the thing I love teaching him about now, so it's the thing I didn't realize I was the most excited about, is teaching him about his body.
Mm-hmm.
And like to love his body in a really positive way, or at least try. The thing that I'm the most terrified to teach him about is the actual monsters in the world. Like, there's a lot of them, you know.
Do you have an example of a monster?
I mean, I feel like people that like want to, or people that like take advantage of populations for their own gain, stuff along those lines.
Sure.
Yeah. I think I'm the most terrified about that. Like talking about drugs and sex and things along those lines, that doesn't scare me. I mean, it does kind of scare me to like the idea of watching him go through that. You know, I'm like right. already preparing myself for that.
Yeah.
But when we talk about monsters, like there's some real monsters out there that I like, I'm terrified of him finding out about. So,
yeah, it's hard being a parent.
It is. It's like, hard. You ever see those artworks where it's like, there's one in particular where it's like this mom leaning over her little kid and the kid has a knife in her back and the mom has like 40 knives in her back. And she's just like, it makes me want to cry, like hugging the, you know, the child, because it's the first time she's been like stabbed in the back by a friend or like really hurt. And then you can see the representation of like how the mom has been just maimed through life and like all the different pains that she's experienced. Yeah. Like I really am starting to feel that, you know, like the one thing that does, I am having to wrap my brain around is Fox going to school and dealing with children being mean to him, you know, his peers being mean to him. And then I think about something that Glennon Doyle said in Untamed, and she's like, people who don't struggle suck. And so
that's like the most Glennon Doyle quote ever.
I know. And I really think about it. I'm just like, that's right. Okay. Right. Like,
yeah.
Struggling can lead to significant growth. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, I feel all of that. Like you talked about that pain and it just, it like hits me in my soul. Thing I am, I'll start with terrified. I'm just like kind of embarrassed. Sex and drugs. And like,
those are the things you're scared of?
Those things, not necessarily. Yes. Yes. I know. It kind of depends on my kids, right? Like how things are going. But, sure. My husband and I had very different childhoods and his terrifies me. I was a very good child. I didn't sneak out. If you didn't know where I was late at night, I was with the theater kids at Sherry's, like drinking coffee, like that, you know, like that was my thing. That is not my husband's experience. And so I'm like, I don't know how I would deal with that and like how to have these conversations. So that's what scares me. Because I know it's going to come up and I want to like nurture that open relationship where we like, I don't ever want to be shut out, you know?
Right.
I don't want to ever have that. That's like, that's something that really scares me. The thing I am most excited about though is to like you said, teach them about their bodies. I think that's something that was really, really missing from my like adolescence where like, it was like, here's a tampon and some blue goo. This is how it works.
Right.
And so to like really lean into, you know, puberty and periods and all of these like big changes in a way that feels supportive and empowering and not totally embarrassing and lame. Because no guarantees on that one. But just being, you know, having those relationships where you can be excited about changes and it's okay if it feels unfamiliar and different and I don't know, just supporting that transition in life, I'm actually looking forward to. So,
oh, I love that.
I mean, I'm also scared of it too, but I'm also excited. Like it's one of those
totally.
Like,
totally. Yeah. I mean, having a little boy, I'm like, thank God I have Ryan. Cause.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
You know, I'm like, he talks about like the constant erection that he had when he was in middle school. And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm
about
so
that.
Uncomfortable. There's, is it Peggy Ornstein? So I've downloaded these books. I have not read them yet, but one of Tracy, who's been on the show before, highly recommended them. One's called Girls and Sex and one's called Boys and Sex. And it's basically how to talk to your kids about this stuff. And I was like, yes, please give me all of the manuals on this because I grew up in like your bodies are, you know, there was a lot of shame around sex and sexuality and
same
cycles. It was all very quiet. And so I would like to nurture a more open relationship, but it also requires me to do a ton of unlearning, which is why I'm starting probably 10 years ahead of time.
Yeah. Good. Yes, absolutely. Same. 100%. I mean, it sounds like my upbringing or the way that I grew up is similar to Shane's. Like I was the rowdy girl, like for sure. I was always trying to get away with something like And that it, part of it is because I grew up in a very strict conservative household. And mm-hmm. like my lessons, like body was a bad word until I was in my 20s. Like,
sure.
You know, I really resonate with the like my body didn't feel safe for the long time, longest time, you know. And so when I hear Fox in the back seat, he's like eating a graham cracker and he's asking me about gluten. And, and he's like, gluten doesn't make my body feel good. And I'm like, I'm like having a moment, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, well, we don't know actually if gluten makes your body feel fine or not, it's something to consider. And I'm like, if you don't like to eat cheese, then it probably means your body doesn't like cheese. Like, let's just not eat cheese, you know? So, I mean, just trying to make those little connections for him so that his body feels like a safe space for him. It's empowering to watch as a parent, but
yeah.
Yeah, sex and drugs, like, there is something that's very terrifying about that. Like, I hope to make those connections for him as well so that it's not a taboo thing. Mm-hmm. And so that he ends up, like, going down this rabbit hole of, like, really dangerous substances.
Oh, right.
I hear you called.
Can you hear her singing?
Oh.
Constantly.
I know. Fox sings all the time, too. It's sweet. All right. Well, wow. Those were super fun questions.
Those were fun. We should do this again sometime. Uh-huh. If y'all have questions for us, just feel free to send them our way.
We love voice memos. I mean, who doesn't? Wasn't that fun? Yeah.
That was super fun. And registration for the retreat is open now. So you can head over to the show notes. The link is there. Sign up and reserve your spot.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a Patreon member, so if you join the Patreon community, which the link is also going to be in the show notes, you will get a discount on the retreat.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you might want to consider that while you're also signing up for the retreat. Yay.
Woohoo.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.